All right, so I'm going to continue what I was sharing. The word works, amen. Cheer up, brethren. Let me hear a voice like you're really cheering up. Cheer up, brethren. Yeah, the word works. So we'll go straight into the Bible. We'll go straight into your Bible. And we'll look at what the Bible has to say. We've been on this topic. We've been talking about how, you know, the word works. You know, the word of God, when we come to church, when we come to the house of God, the word of God is given us for our profiting. You know what makes people find God a little bit interesting to understand? It is actually the simplicity with God. Paul talked about you are soon removed from the simplicity of the gospel. You know, God's ways are so simple that you think that it can't be just this. It can't be just this. I think that we will find God more realistic if it was more complex. But he doesn't appear complex. When you study him in his word, you realize that it's very simple. Now, it's because it's so simple that people miss it. Because it can't be just that in their mind. So, when you read Hebrews chapter 4, from verse 1, he says, let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you shall come short of it. Who is he talking about? Well, he's talking to the people he's seen there, but he's about to talk about their Hebrew fathers in the Old Testament. So verse 2, he says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. He's talking about their fathers in the Old Testament who were in the wilderness. He said, unto us was the gospel preached. He said, was also preached to them. He said, but the word preached did not profit them. That means the word is supposed to profit you. You know, every time we come to the house of God and the word is preached to us, we become better, we become blessed. You know, something is added to our life. It says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well unto them, but the word preached did not profit them. Why? He said, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So, all they needed to do was to hear it. And if they heard it, and they mixed it with faith, they believed it, it will profit them. So the word of God is given us by God for our advancement, for our profiting. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
You see, so the word is our source. Then I started to talk to you about the priority of the word. How the word should be first. How the word should be first place in everything. You know, today, I'm going to talk about other aspects of it because I said it's seven facts about the word. And, boy, what I'll talk about today, I might shake some few tables. But as you get ready for them and you change when you need to change, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So it says, I'll start talking about the priority of the word. The word should never be the last thing on your mind. You see, the Bible says that we should guard our hearts. The Bible never said we should guard our accounts. You see, we are always doing opposite of what the word is saying. The Bible never said we should guard our accounts. Never said we should guard our house, even though you can guard it. But he says that the most important thing is to guard your heart. But people do not give any attention to that. How do I know? Because of the kind of movies they watch. Because of the kind of things they give attention to. You see, one of the things that you know about a mature Christian is he's aware of this. So he protects. Now, there are two main gates to your heart. Because faith is actually born in the heart. There are two main gates to your heart. That's the eye gate and the ear gate. So when you're a Christian, one of the major things you'll be doing with your life is protecting these two gates and protecting your heart. Because the Bible says that we should guard our heart. Proverbs 4, verse 23. It says we should guard our hearts with all diligence. Do you know what it means to be diligent? The word diligence is a very strong word. King James says, keep thy heart with all diligence. That means you're going to mount a guard. Go to the... I want to show you something. Go to the NIV of this. I want to expound a word for you. Wasn't in my plan, but let me just do that. He says, above all else, guard. Guard. When I was teaching the Word seminar, I was telling them about how our living today actually does not help us to understand the Bible. Our life today does not help us to understand the Bible. So sometimes we tend to interpret some things wrongly. For example, when the Bible says the kingdom of God, it's so hard for us to understand kingdom of God. Kingdom. Why? Because we were never born in a kingdom. We were born in a democracy. So we don't understand kingdom. So when it comes to the word, we might, the danger is we will interpret what we understand of governance into the scripture. Meanwhile, a kingdom is totally different. The same way, the word guard over there today is, it will not be well understood. Why? Because when we say guard, when you have a guard in your house, today it's one security man or two. But the word guard over there is not put one person there. Now, if you have ever read the Bible, when Jesus was put in the grave, the Bible says that they put a guard, the same word, they put a guard over the grave. So you think there was one person there. No, at that time, what you call a Roman guard is between 60 to 300 soldiers. It's between 60 to 300 soldiers. So the number of soldiers who were in front of Jesus' grave, a dead man, was between 60 to 300. Let's give them the benefit of the doubt and say maybe 150. So a Roman guard is between 60 to 300. It's the same word used here, above all else, guard. That means you're going to put around 60 to 300 soldiers around your heart. And when we're talking about heart, we're not talking about broken heart like the one. No, that's not what we're talking about. Like, oh, people read this scripture, oh, guard your heart. I'm not going to let any girl talk to me or never let any boy talk to me. That's not what we're talking about. The heart here is talking about is your spirit. It says, for everything you do flows from it. Your whole life will flow from it. Your whole life is going to flow from it. What you're going to become will flow from it. What is going to become your possibilities of life is going to flow from it. We are protecting everything external, and we are not protecting our heart, which is our spirit. We allow every junk into our heart. Have you ever noticed that when you ever allowed someone to gossip about your friend to you, till today you have never been the same again? From that day, you see your friend in a particular way that you never used to see him before. Let me give you an example. Let's say, you know, I like to use the choir a lot. Sorry. Let's say there's this lady in the choir. I don't want to point anybody there. So let's say there's this lady in the choir and maybe she leads songs and she's very, you know, powerful in the leading of song. And anytime she leads songs, the Lord God, you are, you'll be so, you're like, this lady, she blesses me so much. Then she's blessed you first Sunday, second Sunday, third Sunday. Then someone meets you outside and says, do you know that lady? You don't know. The car she's driving was a sugar daddy that gave it to her. She always comes to church from her sugar daddy's house. Now, the fourth Sunday, you came. She started, Lord. Why are you not blessed this Sunday? You know why? Because of what you just heard. Now, if it is true, Let's say it's true. If it was true, the first time she blessed you, it was true. The second time she blessed you, it was still true. The third time she blessed you, it was true. What changed on the first Sunday? Nothing changed. You changed. Listen, I like to talk about this a lot because it's more devastating than you think. When you don't guard your heart from things like this, you become like a refuse dump. Don't allow people to dump things about people with you. You might never recover from it. The scripture says, a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth good things. Maybe one day I'll talk about the kingdom of God. One of the things about the kingdom of God is, it's an inside life. Nothing external affects us. Jesus says the kingdom is in you. It's an inside life. Everything we become comes from inside. So instead of us giving attention to our inside, we give attention to every other thing except our hearts. We are looking for money. We are looking for job. We are looking for this. We are looking for that. Now, why do you think that when we pray, all right, if you are new here, you might have to catch up a little bit more because those who have been here will understand that when we pray, we are not, for example, if you needed a job and you were praying, you're not praying for God to bring you a job. You are bringing it from within. Oh, God made Adam. After making Adam, he realized Adam needed Eve. God didn't go making another Eve. God brought Eve out of Adam because the Adam he made was complete. So when you understand that it's an inside life, you realize that everything comes from within. So if I pollute my within, I'm going to be in trouble. So I'm supposed to be investing the word of God rather into my heart and not junk. When people come to talk to you about people, tell them, I'm not a refuse dump. So I'm not a refuse dump. You know, when I was growing up in the faith, I'm always the last person to hear gossip. Last person. It takes so long for me to hear. I'm always wondering why. Sometimes 3 months after, I thank God for that. Because I'm always the last. Hey, it happened like that. Oh, really? At that time, it's X News. Some people pride themselves with the fact that they have the latest. You destroy yourself. You know what I even discovered in the Bible? That if you discover when you destroy people, you gossip about them, you hate them, it makes God favor them. Maybe I should show it to you. Proverbs. Proverbs 24. Okay, look at this. Proverbs 24, verse 17. Now, this is the Bible. It's not me, please. Rejoice not when thy enemy falleth. Can you imagine? It says your enemy, when he falls, he says, still keep quiet. Why? He said, rejoice not when thy enemy falleth. Stephen, look at this. Oh. He said, rejoice not when thy enemy falleth. I thought when your enemy falls, you said, yes. He said, rejoice not when thy enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth. Why? Verse 18. Lest the Lord see it, and it displease him, and he will turn away his wrath from him. That's why the more you're hating on the person who hurts you, the more God is blessing him. Because God doesn't like the fact that you're hating him. Because he's left alone. And God too goes to the lonely. Bible says that when God saw that Leah was hated by Jacob, God gave her the fruit of the womb. When you see somebody who is hated the most, God is with him. Because there's nobody with him. He said, let the Lord see it and displease him. Tell somebody, guard your heart. The same way, without your eye gate and ear gate, you'll be you'll be choosing the things that enter, because if it's to mount a guard, it means, what does it mean to guard? It means when something wrong is entering, you say, no, you don't get in. When something right is entering, you say, you get in. So wrong, you say no. So you mount a guard over your heart. So you're watching a movie, a horror scene starts, you know, you're not ready to introduce fear into your life. You said, from now, we are finished from this movie. But there are some people who say, I want to see what happened, and that is the problem. So that's one thing the Holy Spirit has helped me with. I will stop it now. I'm not ready to introduce fear into my heart. And you say, oh no, I will not be afraid. No, are you wiser than God? Are you wiser than God who says that? No, don't go there. Don't go there. Now, what will happen? It will get in. You say, oh yes, that day you will not be afraid, but you have sown the seed of fear. Now, for example, in a movie, they are killing people. And you are so invested in it, how they are killing people. Now you are learning how to kill people. You know, you're seeing a lot of things in there, and you're just enjoying it there. You know, sometimes those kind of things, they introduce something into your spirit. They introduce the possibility. For example, you're watching those kind of things. Now, you have introduced the fact that you can be killed. The day something happens that your faith will react, counter it. Your body, your body says, no. The last time we watched, they said, yeah, we can die. You see, your faith will not work. Because you are saying one thing, you are doing another. Some of you get on the internet and all the stories you read are breakup stories, heartbreak stories. Dear Auntie Betty. I had a wife of 14 years, and she brought her brother to the house, not knowing her brother has been, their children are not from, hey, life. You can't even believe the right thing. You can't believe the right thing. So anybody who comes to you, you're thinking, you remember Auntie Betty? You have introduced something to your life without you realizing. Bible says, while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares. While men slept, you're sleeping. You're not mounting a guard, you are sleeping. Anything is just entering. It's just entering. So now, that person is entering into marriage and it's going to be problem upon problem upon problem. Now, there are some people who don't even believe that marriage can be stress-free. They can't believe it. They can't believe it. Why? Because all the stories they've heard, and you know people who have good marriages don't talk. Yes. The one with the bad marriages. Yeah, marriage can never be this. But meanwhile, the Bible says two is better than one.
Yes.
Before, if I talked about it, they say, because I'm not married, that's what I'm saying now. Now they'll say, it's because I married not too long ago. You will wait for long. You will wait for very long. The word of God.
Yes.
If 100 marriages around you did not work, you are not looking at them. They're not your standard. The word of God is your standard. You saw your auntie is beating your uncle. Your auntie is beating their husband. This one is all around you. this one's beating this one. So all your mind is like, this one, everybody must suffer in marriage. It's like, you wake up in the morning, oh boy. Where I lived when I was growing up, boy. That's how you wake up in the morning. He's beating the husband. The husband to. In the evening, you see them eating together. So everywhere is fire and brimstone. If you are not careful, that kind of thing will enter into your heart, and you think that marriage is supposed to be like that. When you see those kind of things, you close it, then you or lift your Bible. You say, the Bible says two is better than one. The Bible says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. It's a good thing. It's not a problem.
Yes, sir.
And we say, hey, if you marry a problem. No, it's not a problem. It's a good thing. Ah, if you were having... Yes. Ah, somebody says, if you marry, it's hard. If you have 200 CD, that means another person is coming. Now it's 100. No. Bible says, and obtain that favor from the Lord.
Yeah.
That means, so my wife is coming, it's going to be 500 now.
Yeah.
Renew your mind. Stop listening to everybody outside. There's something the devil uses to attack God's people. It's called the rabble effect. You know the rabble effect? He gets many people to say the same thing. You think it's true. So you go online, everybody saying, oh, it's bad. Marriage is tough. Marriage is, hey, prepare before you go. Hey, it will kill you. No. It's going to be good for you.
Yes.
When I was going to start church, you know, what about just walking in the word? Say, what about just walking in the word of God? Just walking in the word of God. You say, church, when you start, you have to start in a classroom. You will suffer. I suffer. That's what I heard. God told me, no. Don't let someone's experience qualify what I'm going to do with your life. Some of you are looking at everybody's experience. And some of you, it's not somebody's experience. You have created experiences. See, people that the Holy Spirit says you should not date. You have dated all of them, and all of them have dealt with you. So as you are going now, you can't even believe. You can't believe. Bible says, how can you believe? Ye that take honor one from another, not the honor that comes from God only. How can you believe after you have been dealt with? You cannot believe. Andy.
Sir.
I know you're enjoying your marriage, I know. You see, think about it. If you honor the word of God and you marry someone who honors the word of God, smooth. It's not about ladies like colors, and you are not. You don't see me. You don't feel my, see my feelings, and you don't see my. You don't. Where did you learn those language? You learned from the world. If you don't bring me flowers, it means I cannot date you. Where did you learn it? Did Sarah have flowers? Let me tell you, all those expectations are because of the world. You learned it from the world. You didn't learn it from God. If you see that the flowers, they are not getting flowers, go and buy the flowers. Give it to him. Say, give it to me. Is it that simple? Simple. If it was hard, God would tell us it's hard. He said, husband, love your wife. Wife, submit to your husband. Well, listen, there are different theories out there. And say, do what it makes you happy. No, do what pleases the Lord. Some people are surprised. What pleases the Lord will not necessarily make you happy. God didn't ask us to do what makes us happy. To do what pleases the Lord. Okay, my husband said, I should not submit to him. Husband, I will submit to him. Why? Not because of you, because of the word of God. Because the word of God is priority in my life. You see, some people want to, how do they say it? They eat their cake and have it. Some people want to eat their cake and have it. They don't want to listen to some part of the word of God, but they want some other part of the word of God to work. So, submit to your husband, it's not part. But they want to speak a word and to come to pass. Don't think they can have it. The priority of the word. People don't like what I'm so talking about at all. Where did you learn it? You learned it from the world. You learned it from the world. You didn't learn it from God. You learned it from the world. The word is different. The word tells us how God sees it. And there's something about marrying a godly man or a godly woman. I don't know why I'm talking about marriage. There's something about marrying a godly man or a godly woman. You can have issues about the person, or the person is not tall, the person is this, but there's something about godliness. You see, the day something is not going right, if you pray, because he's a godly man, the Holy Ghost reaches him quicker. So he's doing something on his phone and maybe he has not talked to you for 6 weeks. Why are you saying hey? If someone don't talk to you, what will happen to you? You will collapse. So then you are praying. So Lord, as I'm trying to get his attention, he's busy. He's doing something. He said that his work has sent him to somewhere in Bungungulugu. So he's not getting it. Oh Lord. I want him to call me. While he's sitting down, the Lord will go and knock him and say, my friend, what happened to call your wife? He said, I need to call my wife. And you start calling. See, he's a godly man. Godly woman, the same thing. She has been tired from work. She has not been cooking. Every time I've been buying Indomie around UPSA. When you see that, when you raise the topic, it becomes like a fight. You leave it. Don't fight. You go and pray. Father, my wife is coming to her senses. Then you pray. The Lord will go and say, woman of God, what you are doing is not good. Go and cook. And she'll be there and say, I don't know why it's late, but I can cook too. You go and cook. You say, it's nice. Someone say, it's nice.
It's nice. Yeah.
Not. You have not cooked in this house today. You have not cooked in this house today. Say, you two, you have not called me. Then a woman, kill me. I should kill you. Whoa! The blow shouldn't have killed you, but because you said, kill me. The word is working.
Yes, sir.
Cheer up, brethren.
The word.
Right, so the first one is the priority of the word. You make the word first place in your life. You have conversations with people. They talk about the word. You say, you know, I believe the word of God. Yes, I believe the word of God. So then we go to the integrity of the word. And I gave you some scriptures about the integrity of the word. So I look at Psalm 19, verse 7. Let's look at Psalm 19, verse 7. Then I'll go to the third one quickly. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. God's word has integrity. You know why? Because of the integrity of God. The other time, the Bible says that God said, you know, when he spoke to Abraham, the Bible says he could not swear by anybody, but he swore by himself. You know, God knows, he knows himself. He swore by himself that he would bless Abraham. He swore by himself. I would say he swore by two immutable things. He swore by himself. He's a God of integrity. He watches over his word to perform it. So if he said it, he would do it. That's the reason why we can bank on the word. Why? Because God has integrity. You know, there are some people when they tell you go left, you go right. You know that?
Yes,
yeah. There's some people when they tell you go left, you go right. There's some people you cannot even trust them because anything they say, they don't do. But not God. When he speaks, he does it. So anything he has said, you can trust it. It's the integrity of the word. The word is stable. The word has integrity. All right. Then we go to the third one, the spirituality of the word. All right. We are going to enjoy this, right? Spirituality of the word. Now, we will have to define spirituality because you see, people think that, something that is spiritual is we are sitting down and let's close our eyes. Focus. Imagine yourself in the third ethereal realm. That's spirituality. No. For Christians, that is not spirituality. Can we go into the Bible?
Yes, sir.
1 Corinthians 3. Meditate. Just close your eyes and meditate. He said, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. He said, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. All right, so. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. So we see spiritual and we see carnal. Then he says the carnal, even as, every time King James uses even as, it means he's talking about the same thing. He says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. Carnal equals babes in Christ. So a babe is carnal. So when we're talking about a baby Christian, we are talking about a carnal Christian. So a baby Christian is a carnal. So even as unto babes in Christ. Verse 2. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. Verse 3. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? So spiritual is on one side. Then he says carnal, which is also baby in Christ. All right, go to 1 Peter chapter 2 from verse 1. He said, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, verse 2, he says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. That means a baby is carnal. How will he become spiritual? He says, if he starts taking the word of God, he said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. So if he starts taking the milk of the word, he starts taking the word of God, he's going to become mature, which means he's going to become spiritual. So when we talk about something that is spiritual, in the Christian worldview, a spiritual thing is not close your eyes and no. No. A spiritual thing is that which has its roots from the word. That's why in Luke chapter 7, right? In Luke chapter 7, from verse 8 and 9, the Roman centurion, when I showed you that last week, he says, for I'm also a man set under authority, having soldiers, and I say unto one, go and go, to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth. Verse 9, he says, when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great, but not in Israel. In other words, Jesus looked at the guy and was like, how did you catch this? This is spiritual. You see, every other person was moving, Jesus, come to my house. Jesus, come to me. Jesus, I want to touch you. Jesus. But this man said, no, just speak. How did he tap into that level? Jesus marveled at it. Why? Because this was not as of yet at that time revealed to men. But this man was able to get it. He caught it. It was spiritual. What was spiritual? That he just wanted Jesus to speak the word. Now, this is going to help you a lot. Deuteronomy chapter 4. I want us to understand the word of God. We need to understand the word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 4, I want to read from verse 14. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes. Don't forget this. To teach you statutes and judgments that ye might do them in the land whither ye go over to possess it. Moses said, God commanded me to teach you statutes. He commanded me to teach you judgment, to teach you the word. He says, that you might do them in the land which you go to possess. Verse 15. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourself. Why? He said, for ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire. All right, NIV. The spirituality of the word. You saw no form of any kind the day the Lord spoke to you at Horeb. Let me tell you this. Avoid any Christianity that is presenting to you forms and images. For example, some people say, oh, the Holy Spirit. Once they see a dove, they say the Holy Spirit. That's not the Holy Spirit. This is God speaking. He says, you saw no form. I say, oh, but pastor, please, the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus like a dove. The Bible didn't say it was a dove that the Bible say it was a dove that descended. The Bible says it's the Holy Spirit that descended the way doves descend. That was the construction, not that a dove descended. So in every movie, in every book, you see a dove descending, but that is not it. Now, why? Because God said you saw no form of any kind the day the Lord spoke to you at Horeb. Now, all those craving to have a form, image, all those cravings are carnal. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 63, he says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirits. That the word is spiritual. The word is not a carnal thing. The word, there's this one I'm going to punch right now. And Lord, should I go there? So people are, I think, you know, when Moses saw the burning bush, think about it. We are looking at the spirituality of the word. When Moses approached the burning bush and he saw the burning bush, he didn't take a piece of the fire to Pharaoh. All he took to Pharaoh was what he had. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. You know, some Christians, this is what they do. They are into emotionalism. It's not spirituality. They are praying. Then the person leading them will tell them, imagine Jesus standing in front of you. No! In their mind, that is. So they imagine Jesus standing in front of them. Then all of a sudden, they say, oh! And someone say, imagine he's touching you. Then all of a sudden, it's just like if we all close our eyes, I say, everybody, imagine there's heat around you. We will start feeling heat. Why? Because we are creating that in our mind. We are creating that in our mind. Imagine Jesus. Imagine Jesus. 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 Imagine now. Then some people, sometimes they don't even tell them to imagine. They are just full of imaginations. Like, oh, let's praise the Lord. Let's praise the Lord. So they are praising the Lord. And they imagine Jesus standing there receiving the praises, sitting on a throne. And what's the imagination in their mind? A picture they saw 3 years ago of Jesus sitting on the throne. Then they are, you know, it's carnal. How then do you fellowship with Jesus? You fellowship with his word. In the beginning, you know, don't complicate God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. So when I am meditating on Psalm 23 verse 1, I am meditating on Jesus. It's not about, you know, sometimes some people have gone berserk. They sit down and say, Jesus, sit down. See, I've even done it before. I put a chair, dear Lord Jesus, please sit down. Who told you that he sat? Who told you he sat? I hope he still loves me. Then they will now imagine his answer. Yes, I love you. Aww. Pastor, I saw Jesus. Oh, Pastor, when we're praying, he came with a knife. Canal. You don't say a canality, eh? Canality. It's called canal. It's not in forms, he's not in images, he's not in imaginations, he is his word. He is his word. As you are sitting down, listening to me now, what you don't realize is that, you know, some people think that if God came here today, God is going to do anything different from what I'm doing. No, his word is going to come to you. Can we shift it a little bit? Can we shift it a little bit? Can we shift it a little bit? Okay, let me change the gear. Change it a little bit. You know, you are carnal. If you come to church and we are playing Pastor Chris's video and you think there's no pastor in the church. You know some people, they don't like it. I went to that church. There was no pastor. They were just watching video. Hey, that church is only video. Carnal! They've come out of those things. They are coming out gradually. Lashes, more lashes. They are coming out of it. Because it's carnal. You know, sometimes we don't talk and we try to meet you at your level. Today I'm talking at the level it's supposed to be. Sir. If we realize that we are stood down, don't worry, we'll help you. But I'm telling you where it's supposed to be. When we teach, we actually show you where it's supposed to be. When we minister to you, we actually come down to your level. Like someone is sick. In teaching, we will not accept that you are sick. By ministering, we accept that you are sick, then we minister to you. But in teaching, we will not accept it. So it's carnal. It's carnal that you came to the church. There was a video of Pastor Chris. What you don't know is that that day, Pastor Chris was in church. Let me tell you, spiritually, if you buy a tape and you listen to it, you can say anywhere spiritually, you will be correct that you had a meeting with Pastor Chris. You are correct. You see, it's your carnality. It's the carnality that they want to actually sit down and sit with him. Then you ask him questions. Oh, Pastor Chris, touch me. Touch me. Touch me. Then, how did you start your ministry? And they will now go out and say, I had a meeting with Pastor Chris. Can now. Do you know that so many people can do that? So many people can do that, flock around him and wash his shoe and walk flock around and receive nothing. It always happens. One time, Pastor Brown was driving me. This is about 4 years ago. He was driving me. I said, Brown, do you know something? I said, do you know you can follow a man of God and fail? He said, sir, is it true? I said, it's true. I said, I can give you examples. Gehazi. He knew even where Elisha's boxer shorts were. He was that close. Just flocking around the man of God. That's all he was doing. But no. There are some of us. For many years, we did not meet Pastor Chris, but we're eating his messages. Yes. We received. Yes. I remember 2011, I was going to preach somewhere. I was listening to the Lordship of Jesus. There was a message by Pastor Chris. It asked about 6 parts. I was listening to it every day, every night. One of the days, I was leaving my parents. We were living in a compound house at the time. I left my room. While the thing, at that time, this iPod. iPod was new. I had iPod in my ears with the string. I listened to it so much. As I was walking, I was going to fetch water. I fell under the power in the middle of the house. Fell under the power. I want to go so that they will touch me. Can now. That word that is coming out of that iPod, that word is the person. Hey, the spirituality of the word. Kola masu prede. See, people are so accustomed to forms and images. And God is just looking at them like, Kai, we need to bring them up. We need to bring them to another level. We need to bring them. When you sit down and you are listening to a message, you are fellowshipping with a person. No, think about it. I asked him a question in Model Church. I said, Pastor Chris ministers on healing streams. You are holding your phone. You get healed. What makes you think that you cannot collect demons too from there? So if you use your phone to watch the wrong things, you collect demons from there. Same principle. Or you think it's only the power of God that passes through there. Oh boy. I just wish, and I know you are getting it. I just hope you catch this thing. You catch this thing. There are some people, if they are trying to meet a certain man of God, they're trying to meet the man of God, and they're unable to meet the man of God, they feel like, I tried to meet him, I could not meet him, I tried to meet him, I could not meet him. No, don't worry yourself. Just buy his messages, buy his books, and go home. You will receive more than the people around him.
Yes, sir.
If the people around him don't value his words, everything is received through the words. I can tell you stories. Let me tell you. The first time, aside maybe awards, then I go and shake the man of God. Award, then I'll go and shake the man of God. The first time I met with him, we sat down, we spoke, was last year. Because some of you are thinking that when I, every time I go to Lagos, hey, hey, Pastor Chris, then you say, I'm paid. And that's what you are thinking. First time I met you was last year. Prior to that, of course, I was shake. You say, God continue to use you. You say, oh, I say, oh, nice, nice, nice. Is that, but sitting down talking, because it's not, that is not what is most important. If you are Kana, you think, ah, they should call me for me. Yeah, many, yeah. Why? Because sometimes when you're even closer, you're at risk. You see divinity and see humanity, then you start mixing the two. But as a young boy growing up, the message is sucking it, eating it. Sometimes people come to me, maybe you are here, you won't see me after service. I'm telling you. Sometimes they come like that. Oh, Papa, put your hand on my head. Papa, Papa, put your hand on Papa. Oh, Papa. Just looking at them, sorry, this guy. Papa. Yes, Papa. The words of the man. Jesus says, the words that I speak unto you, he said, they are spirits. If you understand that about words, you'll be careful what you listen to. They are spirits. Puff! As you're oh boy. Sometimes you hear confessions. You know? Let me tell you something. The first time I was going to Lagos, I saw the man who called Pastor Chris. Was 2010. Before we went, always see him on TV. We're like, hey! When we sit in a meeting, we will never sleep. Hey! We will never sleep. Like this kind of grace and anointing, how will we sleep? We will never sleep. We enter, somebody was asleep. Somebody was like, we entered a meeting, somebody was asleep in the meeting. We couldn't believe it. We 2010, we couldn't believe it. By 2014, we started sleeping. Then I tapped my friend. I said, 2010, do you remember that we said we will never sleep? It's not in the physical proximity. The word. In the beginning, always remember that. In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. And the word was God. There are graces that are, oh my God. There are graces that are within certain men that you will not catch it. By you might not even see them, but you will catch it. You will catch it. When I wanted to start working in the miraculous, I'll pray. That is happening. So when I'm going to have a crusade and I'm expecting healing, you know what I'll do? Do you know the message? Do you believe in miracles? I will watch it for 3 days. I'm not praying, no. I'm just watching it. When I go, it will happen. I'll come back to my house. I'll watch you. There are stories. One time as I was watching, I was just listening to it in my car. I just opened it. I was just listening to it in my car as I was driving. Pastor was talking about the gift of miracles. Why he was talking about the gift of miracles? It was like, it was highlighted to me, and that's one of the ways God talks to me. It's just highlighted to me. I just can't forget it. I knew that, they're giving me something. They're just giving me something. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Give me miracles. Give me miracles. Give me miracles. I don't know what to do. They're waiting, and then they will now start lying that an angel appeared to them. An angel. They're expecting... Oh, an angel appeared to me. I fell to my feet as dead. I've hung around a lot of Christians, so I know what I'm talking about. They are so dramatic. The word. Remember when I was talking about the no forms or images, right? You know, sometimes when you're praying, and especially maybe they say spiritual warfare. And you're praying. You're thinking in spiritual warfare. No, I want you to start putting premium on words, especially the word of God. Like, as you are in church now, when I went to Cameroon, when I came, I told them, so I said, you people bought our ticket. You flew us to this country. I came with regional pastor. I came with the, I said, as we came here, we did not bring you anything. All we came is to preach to you. Words are very powerful. All we came, we said, we came here, we brought you words. Hey. Haven't you heard people say, I went to meet Pastor Father, said, God bless you, and that was all. That was all. Word. The word. That is what is spiritual. Stop looking for Ayamatanga. You know Ayamatanga? Karishika. You don't know Karishika? Ah, new Gen Z. No. So, when you are, oh boy, when you are thinking of, so funny. Spiritual warfare, as you are praying, they say, oh, the angels are fighting with the demons. You are thinking that in the spirit it's like this. Cling, 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 cling. So the more you pray, the more power is there. Cling, 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 cling. Andy, come. So you'll be praying. I'm the angel, okay? Be praying. That's what they are thinking. That's what they are thinking. Revelation 19. Thank you. Revelation 19, verse 5. Verse 5. Look at it. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. Go to verse 15. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. He said, out of his mouth went forth a sharp sword. Out of his mouth went forth a sharp sword. So, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? That it was a real sword? No! Out of his mouth went forth a word. That with that word he shall smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he tread the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of the Almighty God. Now, the winepress there is talking about the battle of Armageddon. Hold on. Oh boy. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. It's talking about the Antichrist. Verse 8. He said, and then that wicked shall be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. So when you talk about spiritual warfare, in the spirit, the angels are not removing knives. In the spirit, they are using words. Oh, Revelation 12. Okay. So now you're going to see, this is spiritual reality now. Verse 11, now you will understand this better. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word. Ephesians 6, verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation, which is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So what is he telling you? He said that what you are thinking is sword. Because sometimes you are filled with carnal images. What you are thinking is sword. That angels are doing, praying, praying, praying. It is the word of God. So anytime you are praying and you say, I'm winning. You are destroying some things. Oh no, you didn't hear me. Anytime you say, I'm making progress, you are destroying some things. Am I talking to somebody here? There are some demons that don't want you to move forward. Anytime you are praying in your room, you say, I win. You are taking over. When you are saying, every day is a glorious day, then think, whatever they are guarding and they are taking over, they'll just start moving away. Why? Because your words are coming with power. That's the sword of the Spirit. It's not a sword. Don't think the Spirit is a sword. No, it's the word. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. The word. No form. Don't put images. This is the spirituality of the word. The spirituality of the word. The word is enough. When you wake up and you speak the word of God, you are fellowshipping with the Lord. When you want to say, I want to think about the Lord, don't be thinking of somebody that's standing. No. Doctors, they are carnal. They are carnal thoughts. When you say, I want to think about the Lord, pick a scripture. You are thinking about the Lord. I'm telling you, this is the spiritual standard. And so, why? do some people don't like it. Why? Because it is not emotionally, it does not stir them emotionally. Because if they thought of someone nice man standing close to them with a broad chest, they start imagining, Lord Savior Divine, I'll be through your love. And you see him, Savior Divine, standing there, sweet release to me. Then their hearts, you gave a sin when you died. No, you don't need all those forms, all those images. You don't need it. You don't need it. You don't need it. It's the word. The word. That's why you should not joke with the word. Anytime you are studying the word, oh boy, have you ever come across it? Sometimes you finish reading the Bible, it's like you're taking a bath. Yeah. You see, that's because you are fellowshipping with the Lord. Anytime you are studying the word, you are fellowshipping with the Lord. You are fellowshipping with the Lord. Anytime you are fellowshipping with the word, you are fellowshipping with the Lord. That's why Jesus told Martha. He said, you worry about too many. He said, Mary has chosen the good part and will not be taken from her. Why? Because she was listening to the word. Let's look at another one. Are you sure you're here?
Yes, sir.
Are you learning something today?
Yes, sir.
Are you here? You're going home? Okay, so some other people, it is another canal one. Shall I see it? All the women conferences in the world is either Esther or Deborah. If it's not Deborah, all the Christian women conferences. Why can't a woman be David? It's canal. You are relating with the word of God like a kind of fleshly something that you are only seeing your gender in it. A man can be Deborah. What is Deborah? Bible says, and I, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel. So if you're a man and you're somewhere, something is going on. When you arise, that is Deborah. But you're thinking of gender. So a woman, when a Goliath-like situation appears, she's not thinking she's David. She's thinking she's Esther to be in the palace dressing. Canal. All the women conferences. Esther conference. Deborah conference. Ruth. Naomi. Abigail conferences. It's canal. It's canal. Hannah conference. Are you in life to just give birth? No, but a woman can be Elijah. Am I talking to somebody here?
Yeah.
It doesn't mean your voice will change. It doesn't mean your stature will change. It doesn't mean your body will go. No, but it's a spirit. It's a spirit. The word of God is not a carnal book. It's a spiritual book, so it's a spirit. What's Elijah? Elijah is to judge, is to judge the work of the evil one. You can see Elijah was a man that prayed, a man that called fire and called rain. That means he commanded the move of God. A woman can command the move of God.
Yes.
But they were sitting down. When they say, Ruth, oh! Esther, oh! Samuel. They are not Samuel. They only see the agenda in the Bible. Wrong. It's canal. The spirituality of the word. The spirituality. A man can be Esther. How? If you find yourself, if a man finds himself in an office where there are influential people, and he has the opportunity to talk. Is that not Esther? Must he be a girl first? Carnality. Bible says, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. In this covenant, it's not fleshly. We don't know no man after the flesh. So you can know. There are some guys when you say, "Oh, this lady is your leader." How can a lady be my? Oh, you are carnal. Henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Look at it. He said, "Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though no more we Christ after the flesh. Yet now, henceforth, know we him no more." Know we him no more. We don't know him after the flesh. Why? Paul was saying this because the other disciples, the ones who were with Jesus, they were bragging with the fact that they have seen him. They have been with him. They have seen him. They have been with him. He was there. He ate with us. He slept on the same bed with us. Oh, he was our God. He was our G. We were drinking from the same water bottle. That's what they were saying. Paul came on the street and said, "What are you saying? The Jesus that walked on the streets of Galilee is not the one that has ascended? That's a different one." He said, "From now, we don't know him after the flesh. He's not a fleshly Jesus. Now we are dealing with a spiritual covenant. He says, no, I don't need to see him. I don't need to have eaten with him. No. I know him out of flesh. But guess what? At the end of the day, it was Paul that got the revelation of the new creation. Those who sat with him and ate with him did not get it. Because it's not by might. It's not by fleshly acquaintance. That's not it. You are missing it. A woman can be Elisha.
Yes.
A man can be Naomi. A man can be Naomi. So where is the woman needed, man needed? When is it needed? In the family system. And the family system, the Bible says that it is only on this earth. They will not marry in heaven. Someone say, oh. No, you want to marry in heaven? No, see here. Why? Because all the fleshly things are here. What do you want to do in heaven? What do you want to do in heaven that you want to marry in heaven? You want to take down your lifestyle? You want to be on somebody? I had like one guy said, he said, ah, Lord, how you say you give us mansion in heaven and there's no woman in the mansion? Mansion, whole mansion. In my first house, many mansions, full mansion. We are there alone. Because people will take their lifestyle, go and stand back. But know we no man after the flesh. Have I talked to somebody here?
Yeah.
In the family system, all those biological differences are observed. Why? Because marriage is an earthly institution. But we are looking at the Bible. When you look at the Bible, if you see a person in the Bible, Daniel, his wisdom. Why can't you? Why? Okay, those of you who have been coming, you've been having challenges with your academics. I give you Daniel 1:17. Daniel, is it Daniela 1:17 I gave you? It's not Daniela 1:17 I gave you. I gave you Daniel 1:17. It's the same Daniel. Are you seeing? So you can have the wisdom of Daniel. Are you seeing? You're a lady, but you have the wisdom of Daniel. You have the wisdom of Solomon. Not their lives, but the wisdom of Solomon. Hey! Say, I'm spiritual.
I'm spiritual.
Say, I'm spiritual.
Spiritual.
Receive the word spiritually. That's the spirituality of the word. The word is not trying to address your emotion, not trying to address your physical. No. The word is spiritual. It's spiritual. That's the spirituality of the word. You see, it's not a gender thing. Because if that's the case, then the women will be handicapped, because the women heroes in the Bible are few. Rahab, Jael, you see that? It's so carnal, man. Then they'll ask women, who are your role models in the Bible? Jael, Esther, Hannah, Abigail, Mary. Oh, is that all? No wonder sometimes you don't even find women who are great women of God. Why? Because all they want to be is to be Esther and to be married to the king. But God is putting in their heart to be praying like John the Baptist. But they cannot, but they are looking at Ahasuerus. They want to be married to him in the palace and be seeing him once a month. And they'll go and visit him. My Lord. That's what they want to do. No. Canal things have stopped. When you see Daniel, you say, yeah, Daniel, yeah, yeah, Daniel. That, I'm not saying that should make you a man in physical, this one. You can still slay. I told you about when I was on camp, this one lady like that. I saw the lady praying. Boy, this prayer, this is something else has entered the prayer. I believe that as a lady, if you are praying, you can still be a lady and pray. I believe it. I've not seen the Bible, but I believe so. I am praying. You can still slay. Nicely. That you are spiritual doesn't mean you have to. It's all, that's also carnal. Because you think to be spiritual means I have to turn into a man. As I saw the lady praying, Antolade, Antolala. Ado, Apo, Alo, Apo. You know why you are laughing? Because you have seen them before. Ado, Apo, Ado, Andala, Ando, Ado. Now, when I saw, after she finished praying, I thought to myself. Now, she was a very fine lady. I was on camera. I was also praying on one side. I was just eyeing the lady. I was like, wow, this is a very fine girl. So I was expecting that after that, we'll leave everything there. So that like, all was prayer. So then we don't have any problem. It was prayer. Then we know that, oh, this one is just prayer. I mean, when she's praying, she's just in a spiritual, you know. When she came out, she saw a friend from afar. You know, ladies don't shout. I'm telling you, ladies don't shout. There's someone is at the bar. Hey! No. But this lady. Oh! Antoinette! Let me finish. Who got to be cool, huh? Now, I said, this is the work, you know. Who got to? Are you out there picking two of them? I'm going to do that's how I pass. No. You must still be fine. You must still be fine. As you are praying, once in a while, you lose your hair will go back. Have you seen Pastor Yemisi? Have you seen Pastor Diola? When they are praying and they are preaching, there's still some poise around it. Manta Kalabahi. Don't turn into a man. Oh. Praise the Lord. Yeah! Say, I'm spiritual! Yeah.